Hey, welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got a jam-packed show today here for you on Robbie and Rex Road. Seth Emerson from The Athletic coming your way at 7:30. David Beauclair at 8 o'clock to discuss all things Tennessee Titans. Steve Mayer from the National Hockey League joining us at 8:30 to look ahead at the Stadium Series game between the Predators and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And Matthias Ekholm coming up at 9 o'clock as well. Big win for the Nashville Predators last night against Colorado. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. Joe Rex Road, how's it going? What's going on?
It's going fine. Yesterday was it was actually a very frustrating day, but also as someone who likes, you know, sports games and sports games involving local teams, because they were all at once. But it was actually a pretty great day, and I got to give Easton Freeze credit on Twitter. 13-0 if you want to count Titans, Preds, and Grizzlies this year. 13-0 for all those teams. Grizzlies beat the Warriors. The Preds, like we're going to talk about. And, of course, Michelle and I were at Memorial Gym. That did not go well for the local team. Well, Michelle's still glowing in her Oscar Tshiebwe is he might be National Player of the Year. I'm going to say it right
Incredible.
Now.
Incredible.
Michelle, what was the bigger moment for you yesterday? Kentucky's win or meeting Scottie Pippen?
Okay, so that was really cool. Meeting him, and it was funny because when we got our book signed, he like pulled out his phone, and you know how iPhone, like he had one of those huge iPhones, right? And you could just tell how like such a huge human he was, because he could fully grip his hand all the way around his, like his pointer finger and his thumb were touching each other, just gripped all the way around his phone, which was insane. That was really cool to meet him. He was really nice. And then, oh my gosh, I was just so in my element. My friends are like, are you okay? Like, you just can't stop smiling. I was so happy. I got to see people I used to work with. Plus, we won, which was incredible. I was just really happy. But it was awesome.
Were you still there for the 16-0 run Vanderbilt finished the game on?
Yeah, but we just it's okay.
Well, it was a 16-0 run to, you know, lose by 12. So that's how the game went. So did you get Pippen Sr.? Is he coming on the show or what?
No. See,
he's promoting a book.
I know, but here's the thing. The whole, I get the mass and everything. It was so hard to, like, talk, and it was very, like, give me your book. Here's this. What's your name? Let me sign it. And I was like, yeah.
So you didn't
I fumbled the bag.
Ask him, hey, Scotty, what happened that day in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pistons when you had no points?
Listen, Joe.
You didn't ask him that.
Would you ask him that if he came on?
Absolutely.
Would you ask him if he got migraine?
If you guys, I believe him. The wild thing is, I mean, if you guys watch, I assume you guys both watched
Last Dance.
Whatever Jordan's little self.
The Last Dance
propaganda film.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he like rolled his eyes when they went to the whole thing with Pippen with the migraine and that. And I was like, well, how would you, like, really? You think he was just lying? I mean, it's not like he just had a bad day and then later is like, oh, I had a migraine. I mean, during the game, he was totally struggling. Anyway. So, yes, I would have asked him about that. But I believe him.
And you would have told him that you're not a Jordan fan as well.
Well, I guess we do have that in common. I wasn't really much of a Pippen fan, though, let's be honest.
Scotty, what are your thoughts on the Detroit Pistons?
Yeah. How about Isaiah Thomas? Let's talk about Isaiah a little bit. Cool that you got
good
to meet
stuff.
Him.
Yeah, cool you got to meet him. Big win for Kentucky last night against Vanderbilt. They get it done in front of what was apparently a packed house for Kentucky fans last night.
Yeah, I'd say it was. Well, I couldn't. It's everybody in the press is now up high. So, there's actually a bunch of banners that are blocking my view, but it was more than 50%. What would you say?
Yeah.
What was the percentage?
Like 65, yeah. Maybe more.
That's
it was kind of sad. They were doing. The in-game host was like, black, gold, a chant, and then everybody was like, blue, white, and I was like, oh, God, guys, let's not do that.
Well, and you got all the Kentucky, you know, like all these BBN folks, you know, in the student section, because Vanderbilt, I don't understand the policy, but they're not letting students in, but you can fill the stadium.
One of the dumbest things I've ever heard of in my entire life.
Because the students at Vanderbilt have to be vaccinated, so I don't understand it, but... that's how it went. And walking in, especially actually walking out, I mean, I seriously thought like this was the Beatles circa 1964 in coming to America. Like BBN just, I mean, they were all over that team bus, man, getting all the pictures and stuff. I was like, man, look at this for this team. Which by the way, decent team, but with him, a guy who should be on Tennessee right now, by the way.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, like Tennessee supposedly could have had him, but yeah. They're probably not going to like playing against them Saturday.
Apparently doesn't work hard.
What's
that? Did you see that quote from the West Virginia coach? Oscar Tshiebwe doesn't work hard enough.
That's what Huggins said?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
How's that working out for him?
Wow. That was last year?
No, he said it this year when he started going off at Kentucky.
Oh, so someone asked him about, do you miss Oscar? And he, oh, God, Huggins. Well, hey, you know what? Huggins will at least... What?
At least he speaks his mind.
He speaks his mind. Yes. My goodness.
Oh, boy. Congratulations to Kentucky for their big win last night. Tennessee destroyed South Carolina last night in a game where they really didn't play all that well offensively again, and defensively were just smothering against South Carolina. Yeah. Need to work on some free throws today, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of ugliness. I mean, it was a half of frustration after, you know, their offense. They've got a lot to figure out, but Josiah James hit a couple shots. That's good to see. I mean, Zakai Ziegler is going to be a fan favorite, like no doubt about it. 5'7", tough kid from Brooklyn who's going to be there 4 years. But good second half. So, I mean, that's a big one. Saturday at Rupp. I don't know if I like their chances the way they're playing. But are you guys doing a bet on this?
I will be there in person.
You will be there?
Heck yeah.
Oh, you're going?
Nice.
Yes. Okay. Actually, no, I'm working it. I'm going as a credentialed media member, so I'm unbiased.
Working it for?
I'm just going to do some social media for the station, you know, tweet out, all that fun stuff.
Oh, nice. So there can be no giddiness at all then from you as you sit there professionally.
I'll be tweeting off the 102.5 The Game app, so we will be very unbiased tweets, Tennessee tweets, Kentucky tweets.
Okay. All right. We'll see how you do. We'll monitor very closely.
We'll see how that one goes coming up on Saturday night. What a game last night at Bridgestone Arena between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche. Before we get into the game, can I just say congratulations to our guy Max Herz for calling his first NHL game last night. By the way, I got to listen to a pretty good amount of it with Max. Absolute stud. He did an incredible job last night on the play-by-play. Obviously, nobody can replace Pete Weber, and Pete Weber on the COVID list right now for the Predators. But Max, I thought, did a wonderful job last night on the radio play-by-play with Hal Gill.
You know, if Max could have stunk last night and we'd still be like, hey, Max, good job, buddy. Like, hey, way to fill in and be a team player. He was freaking great. I mean, he really was. I mean, he is absolutely a natural. And that is, I mean, I think that's probably the job in sports. I don't know. Is that the most coveted job in sports to like do play-by-play? Probably.
Probably.
It's very hard to get into. It's very hard to do. He is absolutely going to do it for his career. And that is – he's so – I couldn't believe how good he was. I got to listen to basically the whole second period, you know, driving home from Vanderbilt. Man, so good. So good, Max. You can't say enough about that. That's,
by the way, hockey's not really the easiest sport to do that in either. And he nails it.
No, and I mean he painted a picture, you know, and had a lot of moving parts. As you're listening, you're like, man, this can't be easy. And just absolutely nailed it. So
also a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Finding out he had to call the game, like you have to prep for that stuff, and he got on there and killed it.
He did.
Well, then it just it turned out to be the game of the year so far, maybe in the entire National Hockey League, but certainly for the Predators to this point. 5-4 the final score last night. The Predators win in overtime. Matt Duchene scores a couple of goals. What a game that was last night at Bridgestone Arena. I know we talked about yesterday, you know, it'd be nice to see these two teams at full strength matched up against each other, and the Predators did not have Philip Forsberg last night. As we later came to find out, they did not have Yakov Trenin last night as well. Colorado didn't have Landeskog, and then they had, you know, Bo Byram apparently just leaving the team before the game for some personal reasons and some different things going on with Colorado. So still not a matchup of two teams at full strength, but you couldn't tell last night. That looked like two elite teams in the Western Conference, and what a game, what a job by the Predators to get that one done.
It was really good, and obviously it just continues this dream season for Matt Duchene. But also, I mean, like the Cale Makar goal to tie it.
Jeez.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, when they, you know, when that team, and again, without Landeskog, but when they want to turn it on, boy, can they turn it on. And the, you know, you expect some chippiness. I thought there was some real, real nice chippiness that makes me want this to be a playoff series at some point. A nice little, you know, Johansson giving Sam Girard a little, why don't you, you know, why you fall down that easily?
Johansson's been getting a little feisty last few games.
Yeah.
He's getting in there.
Who was he barking with last game?
I don't know.
That was pretty good.
Lawson Krause, and it was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. No, he's out there, you know, he's out there hitting people too. That game had everything.
No, it was awesome. It was, I think, certainly the game of the year so far, if you're a Predators fan, just in terms of not only, you know, litmus test and measuring stick, whatever term you want to throw out there, but also just entertainment value. It was awesome. Luke Kunin scores a couple of big goals last night for the Predators. Matt Duchene scores the last two. The first one on the power play in regulation, just being able to gather that puck and kick it to your blade right around the net. That's pretty, like, that looks like it's just ho-hum easy. That's pretty tough. Like, that's a pretty good play by Matt Duchene to be able to do that all in one motion last night. And then kind of, I guess, from some Predators fans, some justice last night. Josi rips one on the power play. The Avalanche block it. It goes immediately to Matt Duchene, and he just hammers it home for the game winner. We were talking about it last night. A couple friends of mine of Borowiecki just took one up high. Yeah. And hits the ground immediately. He's on the ice. You can tell he's hurt. The play continues, and ultimately Colorado ties the game. A lot of Predators fans upset about that play, but the Predators get it done last night in overtime.
Yeah, and for as great as the game was, like, how do you get too many men twice at that point in the game? I mean, that's bizarre. But, yeah, and what do you think that did the officials handle that correctly, you think, when Borowiecki went down? That's a tough
one. It's really tough. And I know maybe a lot of Predators fans are like, well, he's obviously hurt. Just blow the whistle. And I have seen them blow the whistle for probably less than that before. It's also one of those things where, like, if you blow the whistle in that situation, Jared Bednar of Colorado is going to go nuts. He's like, all right, we have the puck in the offensive zone. We're putting on this pressure, and you're going to blow the whistle? It's a really tough spot. I know I've seen some player, or there was a lot of talk last night, not only on Preds Twitter, but really NHL Twitter, about, you know, if you see a player go down that's obviously hurt, just blow the whistle. Problem I have with that is if that's going to be the rule moving forward,
yep,
you're going to see guys, when they get hemmed into the D zone, block a shot, and they're just going to go down trying to get a faceoff. And I don't want to see that. It's a really tough call.
You're going to see Ole Miss defensively between plays against Tennessee's offense?
Yes.
That's exactly the thing. Like, because I still feel like in this sport, you know, there'd still be a lot of, like, you can't do that, right? But I'm sure you would see it more. You'd see it some, and, yeah, you don't want that at all.
No, it's a really tough spot to be in, and hopefully Mark Borowiecki is okay. I mean, that was a missile that he took, and, you know, he's a tough guy. He was writhing around in pain, so you don't want to see that for sure. We'll see what his status is as we move forward here. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. What kind of a statement win was that last night for the Predators? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Now, how big do your eyes get when you see a puck like that deflect off of a block shot and have a look at the net like that?
Yeah, that's a good feeling. Good feeling for sure. I just bounced out, obviously, kind of an open net. I just had to hit my spot, and, I didn't have a ton of time to think, which is always good, too. You just kind of let your body take over. Our special teams were good, and obviously we gave up the one power play goal. It was a great shot by McKinnon there, but Our PK did a heck of a job early on, and then our PP stepped up when we needed it. So our special teams have been a calling card this year, and even our PK, we're maybe not been rewarded in terms of our rank in the league and percentage wise with what we've done, and guys are sacrificing themselves. And at the end of the day, sometimes it doesn't show up on paper what they're doing. They're doing a lot of good things.
That was Matt Duchene last night after the game. Game winner for the Predators in overtime last night from Duchene. By the way, that is game winner in overtime number 3 for Matt Duchene already this year, which is a franchise record for a season. So 3 game winning goals in overtime for Duchene already. He's been Mr. Clutch in the OT period so far this year for the Predators.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sure a little bit extra. Who knows? Maybe it doesn't matter anymore. It's been a while, but maybe a little extra enjoyment considering it was against his old team, the team that not too long ago, you know, it was a very bad team with one player worth watching, and he was the one.
Yep, and I think it does mean a little more with the way that came to an end there. It's kind of a weird end for him in Colorado. Let's take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Liam texting in says, what an ugly contrast to other sports, seeing Borowiecki writhing in obvious pain while play continued around him. The NHL has to do something, maybe stop play and give a one-minute power play. I don't know, but you don't want to see that in this day and age. This is coming from Liam on the text line.
Yeah, it was it was very close. Again, at that point, I was listening, by the way, that was a very – there's an example, and I don't want to spend the entire show praising Max Herz. You know, let Max get a big head. But there was an example of a really weird situation that you don't see a ton in hockey that he described perfectly. And Hal – yeah, I mean, Hal's analysis was basically the same thing, like, you know, you see the whistle blown sometimes, but at the same time – you can kind of understand why they let that go. It's a very tough spot for the officials.
Yeah. No, it is. And look, we're all for player safety. And obviously, you know, when Borowiecki's lying around on the ice, you don't want him to get stepped on. You don't want him to take another puck for no reason when he's lying there. So there's a lot of things that you got to keep in mind there if you're the officials and if you're, you know, in charge of player safety in the league. It's also, like we said last segment, you don't want to get into a situation where you're blowing the puck dead in the defensive zone every time somebody blocks a shot because they're looking for a faceoff when they get hemmed in. So it's a really tough spot to be in. I don't know what the perfect answer is. You know, I saw some people on Twitter last night throw out the idea of, all right, well, if you're down like that, you got to miss at least 5 minutes or something like that. I don't know how you're going to keep track of all that, but I mean, I guess that's something the NHL could look at.
Which kind of goes along with the whole, you know, trying in college football to figure out some way to deter the quote unquote air quotes injuries that are happening right against tempo teams. There's no easy obvious answer. Real quick question for you: is Philip Forsberg still on the Nashville Predators?
Yes, but he's on the COVID list, so he's probably not on the roster list for you.
But okay, that's great. But when I look at team stats on the website, he should still be on the team stats.
I would think so.
There's no reason, but he's not. So let me just complain right now to the Nashville Predators about their official website. What the heck?
I can promise you he still leads the team in goals.
Yes.
Yeah, let's hope he's still on the team.
Yeah, I was like, wow, did something happen overnight that I didn't know about? Poyle's like, yeah, it's time to sell. I don't know about this squad. Let's start selling parts off.
I do not have time for that today. Do not trade Philip Forsberg today. We cannot have that. So, Joe Rexroad, the Predators have now won 5 games in a row. They are the number one team in the Western Conference at the moment. They had won 7 games in a row before the COVID pause. So, you're talking they've won 12 out of their last 14 games. When you factor in before the pause, before the Christmas break, they dropped the first 2 coming out of the break. One of those was in overtime. So they've got points in 13 of their last 14 games. What kind of a statement win was that last night to you against this Colorado team at home with the game going the way that it did?
I mean, it was big. Obviously, you know, you want to see these teams with everybody. You want to see Landeskog out there. You want to see Forsberg and Trennan out there. You want to see everybody out there. But I think it kind of balanced out, and it was a big-time win because, look, Colorado is becoming what we thought Colorado was going to be, and they're going to be there. They're going to be there in the end. And I thought, I thought that the way they pushed, even before they tied it up, but in the second period down 2-0, you're like, oh, wow. I mean, when they push, they can put some steam on you. And just the fact that they battled the way they did, and then you kept taking those punches and coming back on them, it was a great hockey game. To me, it looked like two teams that belong on the ice together, you know, and that means something. Like, the Preds have a great record and they've done a lot of good things, but that's still, like, what's more valuable or what's more telling than, you know, a game everybody knows is a big game against a team everybody knows is a great team that has a chance to win a cup, and then you go in and perform like that for more than 60 minutes. I think it said a lot. I think it might have said as much as anything about this team this year.
Well, look, there's just, quite frankly, some games that mean more, that are a little bit more important throughout the course of an 82-game season. And I know you'll hear from players and coaches of, you know, 2 points is on the line every time, so they're all the same. They're not. Games like last night are more important, in my mind, than other games that are out there. And I thought that was an opportunity for the Predators last night to make a statement, to show that, hey, this is not a fluke. Like, we are a good team, and we belong in the conversation with some of these other really good teams in the Western Conference and the NHL. And I thought they played like it last night. I mean, it wasn't perfect, like you said. I mean, people are going to look at the box score and they're going to say, UC Saros gave up 4 goals last night. Yeah. Let me tell you something. That Colorado team is pretty darn lethal. And we talked about it yesterday with Chris Mason. Over the last, like, 22 games, they're scoring 5 goals a game. Like, it's pretty nuts what they're able to do out there. And then, you know, the Cale Makar goal last night to tie it up at 4, like, I don't know what you're supposed to do about that. You tip your cap and you move on. That dude's outrageous. An absolute stud.
Like, the move, but then the shot right off the – I mean, that was outrageous. Sick, man. That was sick.
I will say both Makar and Josi lived up to the hype last night as well. Josi with a few assists last night. I mean, the play that Josi made on, I believe, Cunnan's first goal, where he just went spinorama out there and got the puck to him. I mean, you're talking about two guys last night at their position that can do things that other guys just can't do.
And Saros had, I mean, how many whoa saves did he have? I mean, he had more of those in that game last night than, a game where he gives up, sometimes where he gets a shutout or gives up a goal against a lesser team. I mean, he had to work last night to give up 4 goals.
Oh, and by the way, Tanner Jeannot, another goal last night, up to number 12 on the season. We talked about it yesterday on Preds Pick the Click. Probably at some point we should start picking him all the time in Preds Pick the Click, and he scores first goal of the game last night for the Predators.
Yeah, just keeps doing what he's doing. He's gonna have a 20-goal year coming off the very much discussed decision to protect him. Imagine think about the reaction to that. And I know, you know, some reacted more than others, but still, I think there was a lot of like, huh, like, you think that they would take him? I don't know if they would have, but boy, does that look like the right move now.
Well, let me tell you, it's probably a pretty good thing the Predators didn't give him that chance, because, I mean, right now he's got to be, I mean, we've talked about, hey, can Josi win the Norris, or can Saros win the Vezina? Can, you know, John Hines be in the conversation for the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year? Well, Tanner Jeannot is right there in the mix of it right now for Calder for Rookie of the Year as well. And I know, you know, rookies in the NHL, it's a weird thing. You're like, how can he be a rookie? He played last year. It's about games played. So Tanner Jeannot technically is still a rookie. But I tell you, I think he's got a legit chance to at least put himself in the mix there for the Calder.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about, really talked about Hines, but gosh.
I mean, he's got to be up there.
He's got to be up there, right? I mean, talking about, Vrabel and Hines both potentially winning the Coach of the Year award in their leagues.
Yeah.
Quite a year.
As Rainey on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, pointed out earlier, pretty good time to be a professional sports fan here in this state. By the way, Grizzlies just giving it to the Warriors last night, too.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, again, just the timing, you know, the timing of stuff, because the Warriors actually made it really interesting at the very end Got it down to, I think, a bucket, you know, and then the, and then the Grizzlies finish it. But that's right during the time that the Preds and the Avs are, like, you know, going. It's like, can we just please pick some different days for some of these things? But
there's a couple of huge shots by Ja Morant coming down the stretch. I mean, the dude, when he turns it on, is just unstoppable.
No, he's in there. He's in there for MVP, and they're good. There's no fluke. Desmond Bane, you know, is one of many reasons, but that's a good team. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff going on here in the next few weeks, months, years.
We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube and Facebook today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, some more moves made yesterday in the NFL. Which job that's open is the most attractive? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, some more moves made yesterday in the NFL. Joe Judge ultimately was fired by the New York Giants, I guess. Guess they had to take a day to think about it. You know, all that great coaching that goes on out there with the New York Giants, the 3rd-and-9 quarterback sneaks that you bring to the table, requires some time to really think about if that's the right way to go. But apparently the Giants ultimately making the decision that, you know what, we think we will move on from Joe Judge. Good to see.
Yeah, maybe they waited to see like how much complaining in the media would happen. And they saw a lot, and they said, okay, we'll go ahead and do that. I got to say, I was wrong in that in my mind, I thought this was year three for Joe Judge. It was only year two, which, I mean, it is kind of ridiculous. You know, like, I think any firing to me, like, you compare it to, like, Brian Flores, and it's just like, okay, like, that one is the dumbest. But as more information comes out, including Charles Robinson on our show, now, clearly that was a whatever you want to call it, power struggle, difference of vision, you know, stuff like that. It wasn't just like you weren't good enough.
Right.
But I mean, it is amazing in this league. Now, you do not get you do not get much time, you know, if it's bad. And it used to be a little bit more, I'd say more, maybe not quite like college, because obviously in college football it's like, well, the typical conventional thought is, okay, you got to have your 5 years. Got to be able to get all of the roster of all of your recruits, you know, so it's not like it's been that. But still in the NFL, like, you used to expect someone to take over a crappy team to get 3-4 years. And now, not necessarily.
No, not necessarily. We've seen some teams move on from coaches. You brought up Brian Flores. Obviously in the NFC North, Minnesota and Chicago have made some changes. There's an opening in Denver as well. Jacksonville has a job opening. So, Joe,
that
as
one
you
was
look
fast.
Around, that one, yeah, that was pretty fast. That was about as fast as it gets. Shout out to Urban, which I'm sure his you know, coaching style really led to that last week beatdown of the Indianapolis Colts. How much credit does Urban get for that?
I don't think we've talked about that enough. They won one for Urban. They probably rallied around. They said grind, and then they they went out and got it done.
Yes, they did. Shout out to Urban Meyer. So as you look at the job openings around the NFL, what do you think is the most attractive one that's out there right now? Obviously, Miami, their record is pretty good this year. You're 9-8. You've got Tua at quarterback. You've now moved on from Brian Flores. Now, I do think as you look at Miami, we talked about this after they played the Titans, a little bit of paper tiger to them. I don't think they were probably as good as that 7-game winning streak that we saw, but nice win against the Patriots to close out the season. So there's obviously tools to work with down there in Miami. You've got Denver with a really good defense at this point. We'll see what happens at the quarterback position with Denver as they move forward here. Jacksonville with the number one overall pick from last year with Trevor Lawrence. So there's a bunch of different ways you could go. Which job do you think is the most attractive that's on the market right now?
Well, I think it's the Bears, and there's a couple reasons. One, I am personally a believer in Justin Fields. Look, it's hard to – like. I'm a believer in Trevor Lawrence too. I believe they're both going to be good quarterbacks. They're going to be great quarterbacks. How many people are great quarterbacks? Can't predict that. Can't project that. But good. I feel good about Justin Fields and what he can do in this league. And the roster is not in terrible shape. But I think another thing about that job is – I mean, you know, as a Packers fan, you know, change may be coming, and not great change for the Packers. You know, the Vikings now are in transition. The Lions, I mean, they all love Dan Campbell, but come on.
They got some momentum.
They do. So I think that is a job where you could, if you can grow with Justin Fields, you know, you could have a good run in that division. I mean, to me, you start with the quarterback question, which is why I don't hate the Jaguars job either. I think the problem with the Jaguars is I think there's dysfunction there that we're starting to see as regimes come and go and things. You know, you can blame all Urban if you want. Or you can blame Coughlin if you want. But I think that it's a little bit deeper than that. Yeah. But I do like – I mean, I like Trevor Lawrence. I don't hate the Raiders job either. You can do a lot worse than Derek Carr. And again, I think they also Mike Mayock taking a lot of crap. I think some of it very warranted, but they've done some good things too. You get past the Khalil Mack trade, like I don't hate that roster. Now, of course, if you tell me who the Broncos quarterback's going to be, and I might look there. But I'm starting with the Bears. I like the situation there. Because like with the problem with the Raiders is, of course, you're looking at Pat Mahomes and you're looking at Justin Herbert for a long period of time here moving forward.
Yeah, and look, that's what I was going to start mine with is if you're telling me that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Broncos next year, then yeah, that's probably the most attractive one. I would say that you're probably in pretty good shape at that point if he ends up leaving Green Bay and going to Denver. I'm just going to operate under the assumption that that's not going to happen. So we'll see. I mean, Denver is interviewing everybody in the Green Bay organization, apparently, to see if they can make that happen. So good for them for giving it a shot. Don't blame them on that front. I struggle with this one because I hear you on the Bears. The NFC North part of this, I think, is part of the discussion because, quite frankly, outside of the Packers, the division's pretty bad. Like, I still look at Minnesota and I think to myself, you have Justin Jefferson, who I think – is probably a top five wide receiver in the game right now. Like, he is unbelievable.
Who was a teammate of Jamar Chase, by the way? Just throwing that out there.
Just insane college. To think about. Yeah, just absolutely nuts to think about that 2019 LSU team. Like, you've talked about it. I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to be there next year. So that's a big part of this discussion as well. Like, who is the quarterback as they move forward here? I still look at that offense. They have the tools to be a really good offense. Like, they have the tools to be really – you still have Thielen. You have Dalvin Cook. Like, there's a lot of things there that you feel good about. You got to fix the offensive line because there have been times Kirk Cousins has gotten absolutely killed back there. And defensively, like, a lot of the old guard, you know, your Harrison Smiths of the world, and, you know, Danielle Hunter has been basically unavailable the last 2 years because of injuries that he sustained. Like, that defense went from – a big strength to a big weakness, quite frankly, at this point with Minnesota. How much can you change that? How much can you shift that around? Because I still really love a lot of the pieces they have offensively, and I don't think it would take too long to change things around in Minnesota. Like, I think you could win pretty quickly, depending on who your quarterback is.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, look, he is, for whatever reason, probably just because I'm guessing – just because, I mean, he is not physically impressive, but, you know, Kirk Cousins was a fifth best rated quarterback in the league this year, 4,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. I mean, if you think he was the problem, you know, right. I think you're way misguided. Now, he's not great elite, and he won't be, so you'd rather have a great elite guy. But, I mean, to me, the Cousins discussion, you can kind of take it here a little bit too, right, and say – now, I mean, there's a difference between them, too. I mean, I think a big difference is, like, Tannehill as a runner, as an athlete. I think he's got more ability, more talent. But, I mean, it's the same sort of thing. Like, yes, everyone would love to have the top, top-tier quarterback, but there's a handful of them. So is, you know, can you win with that guy? I think they can, but their defense is what's really gone so south. And of course that's Zimmer's deal, but yeah, you're right. There's some hope with them too. I mean, if they, you know, you could do some quick fixes and draft well, and you could be a pretty good team without taking too much time. And of course they're one of the jobs. It's GM as well. Giants, Bears. Yep. And by the way, Titans, two guys are of interest for sure with the Giants, both Ryan Cowden and Monty Asenfort, who are, you know, John Robinson's number two and number three here, are of interest. Both have had interviews in the past. Asenfort with the Panthers last year, Cowden with Washington last year, and other ones. So, you know, at some point, John Robinson's staff's probably going to get raided here.
Our buddy Toons is texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Cousins in Denver would be a huge upgrade over Bridgewater or Locke. Maybe Kirk Cousins to Denver, taking it to the Mile High Show.
I agree with that, but I think there's a lot of people who would say, huge upgrade? Why? How? Which blows me away. Now, to your point, you know, Jefferson, Thielen, Cook, that's real nice skill around you. But also the offensive line has been a problem. And Cousins is very much a quarterback who he needs a clean pocket. If you give him that, he's accurate. He gets the ball out fast. He's good. He's not a broken play guy at all. So, but still, I agree. I think you know, he could win with a lot of teams, but I think that's where you have to start. Can you protect him?
I'm putting the New York Giants at the bottom of my list of NFL we haven't jobs mentioned them that are open yet. Of the most attractive. They're definitely at the bottom for me.
Yeah, they
including
are.
The Jags.
And the Dolphins are I was a big Tua guy coming into the league, and I don't know, man. That doesn't look great for him. He kind of looks like he's heading the way of the journeyman quarterback. It's still very early, but it hasn't been great. Like, they have a good, you know, I like their defensive talent. I mean, the crazy thing with the Dolphins is, of course, if it's true that Deshaun Watson wanted to play for Brian Flores and wanted to go to Miami, that's an interesting decision, you know, to move on from him. And then where the heck is he going to be?
Coming up next, we'll look ahead to the first round matchups this weekend in the NFL playoffs. What are the matchups that intrigue you the most? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, buy $100 and get $50 free to the Woodhouse Nashville. You can save 75% off at Nashville Armory, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation, and get $50 free with a $100 purchase in downtown dollars. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looking ahead to Wild Card Weekend, or I guess more accurately now, Joe Rexrode, Super Wild Card Weekend. Got to get used to that one. Super Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, not necessary. Not playing ball with that one. Sorry. It's like it's the Sugar Bowl. It's not the USF&G Sugar Bowl to me. So it's Wild Card Weekend.
So there are lots of interesting matchups this weekend, both in the AFC and the NFC. And obviously, I guess your number one answer, if you're a Titans fan, is, yeah, I'm most intrigued by whoever the Titans are going to play. So going to watch and see what happens on that. But I will say, I think there are going to be two stinkers. I think Tampa Bay probably going to throttle Philadelphia. And I think Kansas City is going to handle Pittsburgh pretty easily. Other than that, I'm pretty intrigued by these playoff matchups. You have round three of New England and Buffalo coming up this weekend. You have the red hot Las Vegas Raiders taking on a fun passing attack with Joe Burrow and the Bengals coming up on Saturday. And then in the NFC, what I think could be a pretty sneaky good game is San Francisco taking on Dallas. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to that one. I hate that Arizona and Los Angeles is on Monday Night Football. Although I say that, I hate it right now. Yeah. If one of those teams ends up playing the Packers, I'd be like, yeah, I'm glad they played on Monday night. It's good stuff. But that game's intriguing as well. So which out of the games I just discussed, which game intrigues you the most coming up this weekend for Super Wild Card Weekend?
Well, it's close because I'm with you. I think to me there are four games that I'm very excited about, and there are two games I'm very much not excited about. So there's another reason I'm not calling it, you know, Super Wild Card Weekend, because we just go back to the old way and have four good games and be happy. But I got to go Patriots Bills, and probably in part, you know, it's AFC, so you know, just personally more focused on that, and obviously that's potentially watching the Titans' next opponent there. And that's only the case if the Bills win, by the way. If the Bills win on Saturday, the Titans probably know, you know, that they're going to be playing the Bills. There's always a chance that the next day, you know, the Steelers can blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's probably going to be the Bills. So I had to look at Michelle as I ripped her Steelers. But she's realistic about it. Go Big Blue. You got the Kentucky basketball team. Be happy with that.
There you go.
Yes.
So that's my number one. But, yeah, I think, I guess it's really close between those other two NFC games. I think you're right. 49ers-Cowboys is sneaky good and has real potential. I mean, the Cowboys are absolutely an upset alert right now. What is that? They're favored by 3. That could be a great game. But Cardinals-Rams is also, I mean, it's a fascinating game. And so much, you know, at stake. I mean, the Cardinals obviously faded late and very disappointing given how they played most of the year. They're still, I'd say, ahead of schedule. But this is McVay and the trade and Stafford trying to win his first playoff game. There's so much on that one. That is a big one. So I think I still might go that two, you know, Cowboys, Niners 3, and then Raiders, Bengals is also still like, that could be a great game. The first game, we could be seeing some fireworks in Cincinnati. I don't know that I really like either of these defenses in that matchup, which is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fun. And I think that one may be at the top of my list in terms of intrigue level, Vegas and Cincinnati, just because, you know, it's Joe Burrow's first crack at it here in the playoffs. I don't think that's going to affect him too much. I think that dude is just kind of built different. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll perform really well. I also think Vegas is going to be able to move the ball. I mean, getting Waller back is a big deal for that offense, as we know. So I think both teams are going to put some points in that game. I'm really intrigued by Vegas and Cincinnati. I think I would put that at number one. I'll go San Francisco-Dallas at 2, Arizona-LA at 3. I'll go New England-Buffalo at 4. For some reason, I just think that's going to be an absolute slugfest. So I don't think points are going to be at too much of a premium in that game.
What do you have against defense, man?
I don't have anything against defense. I would prefer to watch a Las Vegas-Cincinnati-style game than I would New England-Buffalo.
Okay. I like those fast games too. You know,
well, that's true.
We get
is the wind, do we know, supposed to be under control in Buffalo this weekend? Are we going to see another 3 pass output game from Mac Jones?
I don't know, but it's right now, is this the forecast?
It's going to be freezing.
It's going to be 4 degrees apparently as a high. So I'm thinking we're going to see some
good old Buffalo, New York, guys.
Yeah, sounds great.
Like, the Bills aren't built for their own, you know, environment, you know?
No, like, you need to be able to run the ball.
I know. It's, yeah, but I guess if the wind is under control, you know, Josh Allen should still be able to wing it around. That I think that's my number one, just because we know how the first game went, as you just referred to the, you know, the wind game and the Patriots just physically handling them. But then the second game, Josh Allen was, to me, that was everything that Josh Allen, here and there he missed some plays, but big-time throws, you know, big-time throws in the red zone, and then big-time, how many times did he break the pocket, you know, on 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 9. So I thought between those two games, you've seen everything, and now which of those things, you know, outweighs the other when it really matters? Can't wait to see it.
You know what's going to end up happening now, right, is the best two games of the weekend
are going to be Philly and Tampa and Pittsburgh and Kansas City. So just go ahead and get ready.
Correct,
for that.
Robbie.
Oh, I correct. Hope. I hope so. I think there. I hope so. That'd be if one of those games can be interesting into the early stages of the third quarter, I'll stand up and applaud.
Which you watch cars.
Yeah. Well, that's still a long way from the car wash. But which one of those games is less crappy? Probably Eagles Bucks, right?
I mean, probably, but I'm surprised that, you know, Nick Sirianni has been able to get his team to walk in a straight line. So, like, I don't know how they've gotten to the playoffs here. He might deserve Coach of the Year.
You're a big Nick Sirianni fan.
I mean, come on. Just think of some of the crap he's thrown out there. I'm like, my God. Yeah. Talking about gardening.
Yeah, he keeps it interesting at least. I mean, honestly, that's of all the playoff teams, I got to admit, I've watched all these teams a lot. I have watched the Eagles the least by far because I've just had no, like the NFC East is like, please go away unless the Cowboys are in a good game. So I'm interested to see like if Jalen Hurts can, can step up and have a great game. I mean, he's got 800 rushing yards to go with. I mean, he's better than I thought he would be. For sure.
Look, I'll be rooting for the Eagles for sure. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
Big Eagles fan coming up this weekend. Oh,
absolutely you are. So the Packers are looking at, realistically, you know, because let's rule that out. Realistically, well, they might be looking at the Niners, huh? They might be looking at the Niners.
I was about to say, I got a real good feeling it's going to be San Francisco. I think they're going to beat Dallas.
But if it goes according to the bracket, it's going to be the Cardinals-Rams winner.
Yep. So we'll see what happens on that front. Speaking of that game, Wayne from Spring Hill texting in says, I feel like there should not be a Monday night game during the playoffs. It's a disadvantage during the regular season. And with it being one and done in the playoffs, it's really unfair, in my opinion. Your thoughts? I agree 1,000%. I hate Monday night football. I say that, I'll watch it. So I guess the NFL knows what they're doing. From a competitive advantage standpoint, really don't like it.
No, I agree. If you're the you're the Cardinals and you win that game, you know, you're on the road and now you've got a what would they just go right to Green Bay, I guess? They pack in for two trips?
Maybe.
I don't know, but I agree. And look, even if you're the Packers, I'm not thrilled about this because I get all this time off and I may not know for sure what we're diving into until super late Monday night. I mean, the difference between this and a regular season is you know your schedule, so you may have less time, but you can do advanced work and everything, right? And I know these, like the Titans this week, are doing advanced work on everybody. They're doing more on the Bengals because they haven't seen the Bengals. So like you're gonna be ready, but it's still kind of unfair even to the team that got the bye.
So which matchup are Titans fans rooting for when the divisional rounds comes around next week here at Nissan Stadium? Who do you want to see come into Nissan Stadium next week? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.